Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 375. Your week 23 Fab preview, going to go over all 30 teams' schedules, talk some two-steps, some people at the stream, maybe a prospect that got called up. I don't know. A lot going on in that world. We'll get to that, some banter, and much, much more. But first off, you can follow me on Twitter at BDentric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bluefield. How you doing, my friend?
We're doing great, man. It's been a fun week. It's been a fun week post meatball draft, which was, again, a total blast on Tuesday. If you missed our recap show, we put that out right after the draft itself. Did the first 15 rounds Tuesday night. Thanks again to Rob D for organizing. And there's been a lot of chatter about the draft, which has been kind of cool to listen to the last couple of days, but a little disappointed. Like, not too much talk on your Jordan Walker pick. I didn't hear too much chatter about that. So I was just wondering what you thought of that pick.
Yeah, not much. It's been pretty quiet in that regard, but I'm used to it. It's not picks for clicks, as we talked about on the stream. So it's all good. Hey, Caminero worked. Walker, we'll see. Everyone seems to think it's quite the reach, but the way I refer to it, it's sticker shock, Ryan. Sticker shock.
It is. And he homered this morning. And
he's homered in back-to-back games.
That's right. He has homered in back-to-back games. It doesn't count for you, but it feels damn good. It is weird how we are, like, rooting for our meatball players. Like, I took Neto in, I think, the fifth round. He got 7 RBI tonight. I'm like, hell yeah. And it doesn't mean a damn thing. But whatever. It's part of the deal.
It is part of the deal. It is kind of good to get the juices flowing. We're still fighting in 2026, of course, to get things going. But it's always nice to start looking ahead to 2027, because the landscape continues to change with closers and the pool of starting pitchers, like, you know, injuries, all kinds of other goodies. It's pretty sweet, and I'm looking forward to continuing that draft in October and many more to come. Lockout be damned. We don't care around here. As Dom Morello, who had pick 15, cuddle up right next to Ryan. What's up, boys? He's in the chat. Nice to see you, Dom. But Ryan, I'll start this, and you can go from it. Ryan, he might found his future co-host on Thursday. He went big time. Ryan, he barely fits in the screen right now, because Ryan went on Rates and Barrels, and it was a hell of a show, man. Hell of a show.
Thank you. Yeah. Worked out really well. I guess Eno was either out of town or not feeling well. Trevor May was out of town. The meatball draft just happened, and DVR texted me and asked if I could be on the show, like, a day's notice. And I'm like, hell yeah, I will absolutely try and make that work. So glad DVR had me on. We co-manage a keeper league team in the XFL that we auctioned down at First Pitch Arizona. So it's been great getting to kind of know him a little bit better through that process. And then being on Rates and Barrels is always kind of cool. That's one of the big boys. So it was cool to get on with him and talk meatball draft with DVR. It's cool to get his impressions. He was not in the draft, of course. So it's interesting to get his impressions, but also bringing me on, who was in the draft. It's just a lot different when you're in the arena versus on the sidelines. So had a really good time with DVR today. So yeah, if you all want to hear my voice even more, which debatable, but check out the most recent episode of Rates and Barrels. Was on with DVR for, I don't know, 40-45 minutes today.
And what I appreciated about him when I listened to it is he listened to our show to give him some knowledge to talk to you about the podcast, about the draft, instead of just flat out going, hey, here's the board, let's talk about it. Now, he actually knew what was going on, which was really good. A nice flow to the whole situation as well.
True pro, as we all know.
Yes, he is a pro's pro. I can only hope to be him someday, but I'll never have the pipes he has. So that's a whole other story. Let's get to it. Before one last thing. FPass is coming up. We haven't talked about it in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yep.
We're all booked up. Our flights, our hotels. We're getting in Wednesday, leaving Sunday, like we always do. But I want to just one last thing, Ryan, because it's filling up quickly. It feels like better than usual. We have golf at Dobson Ranch for the 5th annual Bubba and the Bloom Invitational. What do we have? 5 tee times so far, or is it 6?
5 to 6. I think we're upwards of 6 now. So still have, I think, a couple more tee times we can fill, but let me know, let us know if you A, are going to First Pitch Arizona and would like to join us for golf. Golf is going to be that Thursday between 9 and 10 a.m., Thursday, November 5th, if you're going to the conference. If you're not going to the conference and you live in the Phoenix area and just want to hang out with us and play some golf, that is totally fine too. So get in touch with either one of us. If you're not on social media, you can email the show, bubbabloompod@gmail.com. And yeah, last but not least, First Pitch Arizona is November 5th through 8th in Scottsdale or Mesa this year. The next early bird deadline expires Friday, August 21st, the day this podcast comes out. So you can save 25% off your registration if you go over to baseballhq.com and sign up for First Pitch Arizona. So if you've been on the fence, the price bumps up after Friday. So would love to see as many of you all out there as we can. I know there are already a ton of Bubba in the Bloom first timers that we've already talked to, which I can't wait just to meet those new faces. Some are doing golf, some are not, which is totally cool too. So yeah, man, can't wait. Book the flights this week. Wednesday night I get in, Sunday midday I'm leaving, but cannot wait, dude. Just over 2 months away.
Yep. And if you are golfing, like Ryan said, try to get to that email as sooner than later, because I'm gonna start ordering the trinkets that we give away at that event, and I'd like to get the right amount, because if you're a late sign up and we don't have enough, well, we'll figure something else out. But high news.
Come for the golf. Stay for the trinkets.
Yeah, if there's anything that Bubba does at First Pitch, he has a suitcase full of nonsense that we just hand out.
Just blowing the podcast budget over. I don't want to say worthless items, but swag, as they call them at conferences.
Yes, but all right. Enough of that. Let's get to it. Week 23 Fab coming up, Ryan. Let's check out what the upcoming week's schedule looks like here before we get cracking on our team-by-team preview.
All right, upcoming week's schedule. Unfortunately, I've got some bad news for everybody. Yes. There are not many games next week. There are only 1, 2, 3, 4 teams with 7 games next week. Every other team plays 6. Those 7 gamers are Boston and the Red Sox. Boston and the Yankees, who play each other for 4 next weekend. They each get 7 games. And then the Nationals and Rockies, that's a marquee matchup there. They get 7 games, a 4-game series against each other to start the week. There's no Coors, so the Rockies are on the road for all 7 of their games at Washington, at Atlanta. There's no Great American Small Park. The Reds are on the road at your Giants. And then in Wrigley, there are games in Sacramento. So the A's are at home for all 6 games against 6 righties, which... Let's not bury the lead. Is it Jeff McNeil week?
Of course. Yes.
It was Jeff McNeil month at, you know, the second I blasted him 2 weeks ago on the show.
We appreciate your services. I do want to add a couple things to the weekly schedule coming up here. The D-backs and the Giants next weekend, they play a doubleheader on Saturday, no games on Sunday. Let's keep that one on your radar.
Do you know why?
Yes, because the D-backs had a rainout in like St. Louis or something. I remember when Paul Sewald said, because they stayed there for like 8 hours before they got the game canceled. So baseball is rescheduling that game, I believe, on Monday of next week. So a part of the, you know, players agreement, they have to have a day off. So they moved the Sunday game got moved to Saturday as part of a doubleheader now, so they can travel on Sunday.
Jesus, that's...
Yeah, and I know this because
the hell?
I knew it happened. Well, this is where I'm going, because Saturday I have tickets to the game.
Oh, okay. This now it makes more sense.
It was originally like a 5 o'clock game. Well, that game got moved to 1 o'clock, and right. The Sunday game's now at 5 o'clock. So it's a doubleheader, but you have to have tickets for both games. If that makes sense.
Did your game get moved early?
Yeah, it got moved earlier. So we got to get there earlier because Ryan, you know, the listeners maybe know. That first game is a Jung Hoo Lee bobblehead. As you know what I've told you about my daughter, that has to happen. So, I'm going to be on the move early Saturday to make that one happen. And then the Yankees and Red Sox have a doubleheader as well. They play 4 games over the weekend.
Any tugboat potential in person? Doesn't look like it, according to Fangraphs probables.
He won't be on the mound, but he'll be in person. And I'll make a sign. I don't know, but
just throw your daughter out in front of you with the tugboat thing and see if it works.
Well, technically, he opened for Adrian Houser. Houser is supposed to pitch the Saturday game. That could get interesting. Like right now they have tugboat pitching the second game of the doubleheader, but we'll wait and see on that one. See how that goes.
It's funny, like, I don't even know Tugboat's name, like his actual name. It's like Wilkinson something.
Yes, I believe it's Matt Wilkinson, if I'm correct.
Like, literally, I'd be going in fast and trying to search for Tugboat. What's his name? Matt Wilkinson?
Matthew Wilkinson. That's what I thought, yeah.
That's not as cool of a name as Tugboat.
No. There wasn't going to be very many that was better than Tugboat. I don't know what we could have pulled out on that one, but yeah.
Yeah.
So, just want to throw that one out there. Let's get to it. Team by team, let's start at the top with the Baltimore Orioles. They have 6 games this week, all on the road, 3 at St. Louis, 3 in Sacramento, which is good, 3 lefties, 3 righties. The Sacramento series is 2 lefties and 1 righty, which means it was already, this is weird because last week we talked, like, Tyler O'Neill, he's playing every day. This is great. Well, this week he's back in a platoon, which sucks, but that looks good for Sacramento series if you want to do that.
Yeah, that does look good in the Sacramento series. 2 lefties next weekend for Tyler O'Neill, so that could work. You got Samuel Basayo back off of the IL. 4th round Samuel Basayo off the IL, but I don't have much here just because it's a split week. The platoon guys on the O's just aren't going to get enough playing time over the full week.
Yeah, there's a good amount of platoons that aren't going to cut it there. I guess the one I would ask, especially because he is playing versus righties, any interest in Kobe Mayo by chance, who's getting every day at bats? He's not even in a full platoon with Encarnacion Strand, which we kind of expected him to be. Mayo's, I think he had his 18th home run the other night. 17th home run. It's not like a jump off your page profile, but since August 1st, since he started playing rather regularly, Kobe Mayo is at least hitting .260 with 3 home runs.
Yeah, and over the last 2 weeks, the strikeouts have been the main issue for Kobe Mayo. The last 2 weeks, it's down, quote-unquote, to 24%, which is, like, almost league average. And given the power that Kobe Mayo has, 17 homers, 12% barrel rate this year, you know, maybe it's just a strikeout rate heater. But, yeah, you like to see that strikeout number go down for Kobe Mayo as it has over the last couple of weeks, which kind of jives with what you just said on – you know, it's not just a completely arbitrary date. That's when he's playing regularly and getting in that groove and striking out less. So, yeah, mild interest in Kobe Mayo in 15s.
And I'll throw out a lot of random people this show because as we get deeper into the season, it's literally it's streamed for week to week. It's not a long-term play here, folks. So play Mayo, enjoy the A's series. If he keeps hitting, keep him. If not, you can drop him next week. Just churn and burn at this point in time. Anything on the pitching side? They seem pretty locked in, except, you know, the closing situation is an utter disaster.
That's all I had. Yeah, his closer is still a mess. We haven't had a save. Actually, Colonel Sanders, Discord nickname there, Cam Sanders, had some just kind of fluky saves, I think, last week. I was not interested in Sanders in Fab. Just haven't had many ops for Kittredge or Cano. So I think kind of status quo. He's still going to get some type of split there, but I don't know what that split is.
Agreed. Boston Red Sox, 7 games on the road this week, 3 at Miami, and then 4 at the New York Yankees with a doubleheader on Saturday. So keep that in mind. It's 2 lefties and 5 righties. It's 2 lefties and 2 righties in the New York series. What are you liking with the Boston Red Sox, who might get Roman Anthony back next week?
Might get Roman Anthony back, and Roman Anthony, what is his...
90% in 12.
90. Okay. So he's out there in a couple spots. Gotta go straight to, we'll get to hitters in just a second. Gotta go to the bullpen. Wyatt Olds was called up this past week. Yep. I saw that come across and was like, holy crap, that is a beautiful, beautiful name. Middle reliever. He is actually old for a prospect. Olds is. He's 27 and just made his MLB debut. So not really a guy, but man, like, will I draft a 50th round Wyatt Olds in the meatball?
Probably.
Wouldn't put it past me.
Not at all.
Hitting side, in all seriousness, hitting side, heater of late, Mickey Gasper. I guess we got to talk about him. I'm very skeptical that we've seen his best three-game stretch of potentially his career, but are you interested in Mickey Gasper in a week where the Red Sox get five righties and it's a pretty helpful schedule?
Yeah, if you need to, and because the best part is he's catcher eligible. And so if you want to go to catcher two, run the hot streak out, we should probably play at least five games this week, which most catcher twos won't in deeper formats. Like that plays on a week like this. Like you mentioned the matchups, he's going to get at bats. That is a strong catching two candidate. Yes.
There you go.
Pitching side, we talked about him in the Discord. Don't think we brought him up on the show last week. That's an L over here. But Brian Bello has been great with openers, and he should get game two, it looks like, of that doubleheader. And the Yankees strike out a ton right now. I am not intimidated by that lineup at all.
No, and we'll get to the Yankees next, but they have the second worst WRC plus of any team over the last month. And you look down that Yankee lineup, and it is brutal. So I can see a Brian Bello stream for sure.
Yeah, the rest of their starters are pretty taken care of, unless you want to go back to Patrick Sandoval, which, again, we keep talking about it. Like he gets his ups and downs, which we know we sign up for with Patrick Sandoval, but the schedule's great still. Like that was the biggest reason we were like quasi-interested in Patrick Sandoval. It was one of the better schedules. Now it's going to start slowing down a little bit here, but like the Giants aren't world beaters. Yankees are struggling. The Mariners, Angels, it's still a great schedule for Patrick Sandoval coming up.
It is, but the Pirates roughed him up on Sunday, and the Pirates are terrible against lefties. So I don't know. He didn't look very good.
But yeah, no, it's dicey, but someone to at least keep on your radar if you're looking at streams because the matchups are oh so sweet. All right, next up on the dock here, we got the Yankees that you mentioned. Seven games at home, 3 versus Houston, 4 versus Boston. Again, that doubleheader on Saturday. 3 lefties and 4 righties. It's 3 lefties against the Red Sox because it's the Red Sox, right?
Right. And yeah, this lineup is just brutal. We saw pre-show that Elliot Ramos, today's August 20th. Elliot Ramos got his first RBI since July 29th, which is just mind-blowing to go 3.5 weeks without an RBI. I don't have anything in terms of ads for the Yankees.
I don't either. Like I'm glad you didn't even bring up Goldschmidt's name with the lefties. Like he's so bad right now. You can't do it with this team. And pitching, Rodon's back. For now, Warren's sticking in the rotation. That kind of surprises me, but that's because Fried went on the IL, so kind of let him stick in the rotation. So I don't have a whole lot to go with the Yankees.
Is Fried a drop for you, Captain Cut?
I want to see a slight bit more. He's actually throwing already, and they've said the whole time it should be the minimal stint. Well, the way he's throwing, it's approaching minimal stint. First sign of a setback, you can move on from Max Fried. But right now, I wait a little bit longer because you could still probably get five or six more starts from him, which is not that bad.
Okay. Agreed. And I think, Will Warren gets to live another day in the rotation, but if/when Fried comes back, then he gone, I would think.
He should be gone for sure. Tampa Bay Rays, 6 games this week, 3 at Detroit, 3 at home versus the Padres, 1 lefty and 5 righties. For the Rays, Victor Mesa Jr. has hit the IL with a hamstring injury, which has allowed one pack a day to get in the lineup a little more often.
Jesus. Ryan Velasquez. So the joke here is the one pack a day. This is how screwed up we are. One pack a day somehow pertains to Vlade Divac smoking cigarettes.
During games.
During
the locker room,
which somehow pertains to Ryan Velade. I'm totally here for it. It's in the Discord. We've got the Python Hunters posting GIFs of Marlboro Reds whenever Ryan Velade hit. It's just totally snowballed out of control, but whatever, that's fine. I still don't think Ryan Velade's or Vlade Divac, sorry, call him by the proper name here.
Come on,
I still don't think one pack a day here is plain enough. Like, I don't know, maybe 50% playing time against righties. So I don't think it's there. I can go with the soft spot with Cedric Mullins, another just bizarre ass nickname, but we'll go Cedric Mullins this week. You can roll with him.
Yeah. All I know is when we do our end of the year awards for best nickname of the year, we have some candidates on our hands this year, and we rely on the listeners to remind us on what those were, because we will forget some, because
Bubba and the Bloomies coming up shortly after the season.
Not too far away, folks.
Get the tuxedo tee ready.
Oh, it's always ready, baby. Yeah, I don't think you can pick up Vlade Divac, but it, I'm just looking forward to him getting three or four games and a couple gifts in the Discord. I had to throw him out and see where it went. Anything else with the Rays? McClanahan's back, but they're slow playing him. Not a whole lot else I can think of, really. Well, Griffin Jacks could be back next week.
Okay.
And he's supposed to show, he's supposed to throw a rehab start Saturday or Sunday, so you might get him back to the tail end of next week.
Would that mean six man?
I think that's what they should do with all their problems that they have health-wise in that rotation.
I mean, they could boot Freddy Peralta, but they just traded for him, so I doubt
Yeah, they ain't booting him. He's slightly improving on the rotations, what I'll say, slightly. Like right now, they're projected for a six-man next week, and it looks like right now they're projected to keep that six-man. We'll have to kind of wait and see how that goes.
Yep, yep.
All righty, the Toronto Blue Jays, they have six games this week. All at home, three versus the Royals, three versus the Mariners, one lefty and five righties for the Jays. What do you got here?
I don't have anything on the hitting side. It's god-awful lineup.
Well, what I'll mention is Brett Bateman left Thursday's game with a hamstring injury. Or left Wednesday's game, sorry. He did not play on Thursday. He left Thursday's game. Sorry, I wrote this earlier. Left Thursday's game, supposed to get an MRI. The results have not come back on that one yet. And he was actually playing really well, been leading off every game, hit safely in all but three games, hitting .271, one steal. It's more of a 15-team play, but with that schedule is why I was bringing it up. It is a favorable week for a stream of a guy like Brett Bateman if he is in the lineup healthy. And then keep an eye on Andrés Giménez. He left. Okay, Bateman left Wednesday's game, didn't play Thursday. Giménez left Thursday's game with a hamstring injury. After the game, testing looked good. They're hoping to have him back like by Saturday. They might give him a day to rest, but keep an eye on Andrés Giménez on that one, which would lead to more playing time for who knows on this team. Charles McAdoo, maybe, if that's something you're interested in.
I am not. Good. Not no.
Pitching side, anything for you? Because I don't have anything with the pitching side.
Spencer Arrighetti sounds like could come back next week.
That is correct. He's supposed to actually come back, yes.
Arrighetti is, and again, who knows how he's going to look coming off the IL, but 34% owned in 12 teamers and tentatively lined up to start next Thursday against the Royals, which would be a nice, it's against Noah Cameron, who's been quite good lately, but a nice little landing spot for Spencer Arrighetti if he makes that start. But if you're pitching starved, I can see adding Arrighetti. I don't know if I'd throw him right away, even against the Royals. Kind of want to see what we're working with there, but that could be an option for you.
Yeah, because if he sticks, it's Kansas City next week, at Cleveland the following week, then it's at Sacramento. So just keep those on your radar. Given Sacramento's lineup's not as ideal, but still it's Sacramento. So buyer beware. All right, Chicago White Sox, six games, three at home versus Texas, three at Minnesota, one lefty and five righties for the Pale Hose.
All right, the White Sox, got to flex some bicep.
I was waiting for that, yeah.
Of course, with the five righties, Andrew Benintendi hasn't been that bad lately. And then, of course, the Savannah Banana, Tristan Peters. I mean, that's kind of rinse and repeat. Sam Antonacci as well, but I feel like Antonacci's widely owned. So yeah, Peters and Benintendi, whenever White Sox face righties, I think that's a fine duo. I'd take Peters over Benintendi.
Agreed.
But yeah, both those guys are reasonable streams this week.
Yeah, Benny's 15%, Peters 10% and 12. So I'd take Peters as well over the two. And if Drew played more, I'd be very interested in that, but he's literally playing every other game with Jake Rogers, so that kind of defeats that situation. Pitching side, are you buying Jose Urquidy right now?
That's what I was going to ask you.
Because I just can't. But he looked really good. Not going to say he didn't, but
Yeah, looked really good his last time out. Would get a two-step versus Texas at Minnesota. Like, that's decent. It is Jose Urquidy. He is 31 years old. He's really never been good. So I don't think I think it's a trap. But Jose Urquidy will be added, and especially if, you know, everything's categories right now. If you need wins and Ks, like, get two starts against two decent matchups. You know, ratios be damned. There's a ton of risk there, but Urquidy could be someone. I don't see myself doing that.
You just said the two-step, and that perked my two hairs on the top of my head. So yeah, that was,
you got two still. Jeez.
That's like Homer Simpson around here. But yeah, that's a little more intriguing. I'm still not in love with it, but to your point, if it's a league where you just want wins and K's, it's good matchups for said situations. And maybe they have an opener like last time and it works out really well for them. So yeah, you have to see. Keep an eye on Kyle Teal. He's rehabbing. He should be back early September if you're into that kind of game. That's a pretty solid catcher too the rest of the way if when he comes back, if he comes back.
You took him in the meatball, right, Teal?
Yeah, I got him late. I was pretty happy with that. That's my catcher too. So.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anything on the pitching? We talked about our kid. Anything else on the pitching side?
No.
Guardians, 6 games, 3 at the Angels, 3 at home versus Kansas City. 2 lefties and 4 righties for the Cleveland Guardians. Chase DeLauter has been out all week with a hamstring injury, but did take batting practice on Wednesday. They're hoping to have him back this weekend. He seems to be extremely close. MRI revealed no damage to his hamstring. And Joe Adell has been out for the last 2 games after fouling a ball off his knee after he hit a ball 456 feet out of the ballpark. So both of them are day-to-day at the moment.
Yes, good calls on both of those. I don't have anything in terms of ads. I do have a little bit of a Gene Segura alert in Travis Bazzana.
Oh, yeah.
Gone real cold over the last month, hitting 190, no homers, 4 runs scored. It's gotten you 4 bags, but Travis Bazzana is in a very, again, that's one of those. He's playing every day, probably in your lineups and not doing anything. So just a heads up there. If you got Bazzana, I still like him. I don't know if I'd drop Bazzana, but maybe give him a little breather on the bench.
Still on the board in the meatball draft when we reconvene. Nathaniel Lowe with 4 righties out of 6. Is he in play or not?
No, I'd like to see 5 or 6 righties.
Agreed. Full agree, because he hasn't been that great. So
right,
not getting too excited on that. And then I want to look. Angel Henao is still only 52% rostered in 12s. He's actually been really good. So he's hitting 341. He's got a homer and a steal. Like, that's a guy that I keep streaming while you can and see where it goes. Because let me check something real quick.
Eligibility, yeah, that I'm looking at.
That's right.
He's got 6 games at second, 5 games at third,
and he has shortstop already.
And I think he's got shortstop already, and he's played 1 game there. So you could get a triple threat here pretty soon for Angel Henao.
Yeah, so you might want to jump on that before that ship has sailed, as they say. All right, Detroit, you have nothing on the pitching, right? They're usually locked and loaded. Just checking.
They're always locked and loaded.
Yep. Detroit Tigers, 6 games at home, 3 versus Tampa, 3 versus the Dodgers, 3 lefties and 3 righties. So it makes it tricky for the Tigers.
It does. So I don't have anything in terms of ads. I'm going negative on these last few teams. Another Gene Segura alert, and I don't even know if it's Segura, but it's. It's a prospect we paid a lot of money for and has not done anything. Max Clark he's hitting 270, like an okay strikeout rate, but has 1 barrel and 75 plate appearances, has not even attempted a steal. You know, depending on your alternatives, I'm going to say drop him, but I will say don't fall into that kind of sunk cost fallacy where you spent X amount of fab money on Max Clark, so you're just going to keep him in your lineup. He's not really doing anything for you right now.
Yep,
and I think that homer was like his second game or something. It was very early on.
It was in Sacramento. He had a big weekend in Sacramento. That helps quite a bit.
Yep.
Pitching side, I don't have much for you unless you're interested in something.
No. I mean, rough week for Kenley. He looked terrible on Wednesday. I want to be interested in Drew Anderson. Is he stretched out at all? Is he still...
Yeah, they're trying to stretch him out. He's working on getting stretched out, is what I would say. He still has a few more starts to be fully
aren't we
stretched
all?
Out.
Aren't we all?
Dude.
No, went 5 innings. Drew Anderson went 5 innings.
I'm talking pitch count, though. Like, it's got to be efficient still. He's got the Dodgers this week, so do with that what you wish.
Okay. All right. Yeah, never mind. I'll refrain from more Drew Anderson talk.
Yeah, I'd stay off of that one for now. Kansas City Royals has 6 games on the road, 3 at Toronto, 3 at Cleveland, 2 lefties and 4 righties for the Royals, who they're getting healthy. And then Jack Caglione hurts his ankle, but he's supposed to be day-to-day. Hopefully comes back this weekend, because with Carter Jensen, Bobby Witt, Cags, Mikel Garcia is likely heading to the IL, by the way.
He's hurt.
His hamstring looked like it blew up on him rounding third. Yep. Vinny P, Salvi. It's like the lineup's getting slightly better.
It is, but then, yeah, you lose Mikel Garcia, who admittedly hasn't really done anything this year anyway, but I don't know. Is that like is that Nick Lofton back in our lives at third base? Like maybe Tolbert?
I wonder if we get Tyler Tolbert. I only mention this because it's a 313 average and 17 steals. So it's a guy that can hit. Like the average could be fluky, who knows, but the speed is not. So if you're looking for a speed guy, if he's getting the playing time, and right now he was getting time in the outfield over the last few games, he was primarily just playing versus lefties, but we saw when Mikel Garcia was out earlier this year, and when Bobby Witt was out, Tolbert played shortstop, so could he play third? That's something I would keep on the radar.
And Tyler Tolbert, this is interesting. For a Royals lineup that we all like to crap on, in 111 plate appearances, he's got 25 runs. That's a ton of runs. Hitting
because he hits ninth, and then he hits ninth, and the top of the order can drive him in. It's beautiful.
I mean, that's a pace of like 120 runs. I know, right? But like, That's a potential difference maker in three categories: runs, batting average, steals for Tyler Tolbert. So for fantasy purposes, we want Tolbert in playing at third base over Nick Lofton, who just doesn't really do anything.
Yeah, I don't want to see Nick Lofton there, and he's been the third baseman and second baseman, but it'd be real nice if we saw something switch up there. So I'd keep that eye on that over the weekend. If we can get some Tyler Tolbert, it's like he's the poor man's Estuary Ruiz right now, folks. Just giddy up for it and see where it goes.
That hurts.
Hey, I just had to speak it into existence. Anything on the pitching side of things? Daniel Lynch is slowly getting stretched out. He still scares me, but anything here for you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm mildly interested in Daniel Lynch, but I just don't know he's going to get stretched. I mean, we're running out of weeks.
Yes.
So I don't know how quickly that happens. I think Steven Cruz got the last two saves for the Royals, so it seems like he's somewhat back in business. They have Craig Kimbrell, which is just
they do
unbelievable. Got a win on Wednesday, Kimbrell, but no, that's it. Steven Cruz seems to be at least the primary save share again.
Yep, biggest high leverage primary save share guy in the Kansas City bullpen. Minnesota Twins, they have six games, three at the A's, Sacramento style. Three versus the White Sox is three lefties and three righties. Sacramento is two lefties and one righty, which makes things slightly interesting.
I guess. I don't know who you'd pick up.
You pick up Josh Bell.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
he's up to 70% now. Jeez, okay, that jumped up the last few weeks.
He's been really good. I mean, he's kind of 15-team legend at corner, but he's been fine. Cody Clements has been fine, but I feel like he's widely rostered too, so.
Would like to say it's nice to see Culpepper's not on the platoon after all, so that's a plus. He had like three hits the other night. Just let him get comfortable. The production will come. Just let him play. So that's good.
Yes.
Other than that, I got nothing. Are you interested in any of the pitching here? Dean Kramer has actually looked good with the Twins.
Yeah, the Dean looks better with the Twins. That was a pretty rough patch earlier there. The Dean gets the Padres this weekend, and then two against the White Sox, his next two starts. So that's reasonable. Not falling for Zebby for the 18th time. And then nothing in the bullpen. You know, just Gomez, man. Three saves in 3 days earlier this week. What a freaking stud.
Dude, you had that one nailed early. I'll give you credit on that one. That was a big one. I hope he's on your teams. I won't say that much.
He's not really. He's on one of my fab teams. Well, so
I was trying to root for you there. All right.
You think I actually remember what I say on Sunday on the freaking when I'm actually trying to do my own fab and my kids are throwing crap at me and wanting to go outside?
This is why I write things down.
I should be writing things down.
All right, let's head to Sacramento for the best set of games on the week, fantasy-wise. The A's, they have six at home, three versus Minnesota, three versus Baltimore, six righties on tap, six righties. So as Ryan said earlier, you got Mr. McNeil at 18% in 12s, that 85%. Good thing Law Dog's up to 95%. That's good to see. But yeah, Jeff McNeil's the biggest winner this week.
I can't follow that with a comment. So,
well, he's speechless. Jacob Wilson's done for the year. Tyler Soderstrom's done for the year since we last talked. So you got that too.
Right. And shortstop replacements, they're pretty thin, right? Like, yeah, some
Alika Williams
type of Alika Williams, or what's his name? Darrell Hernaez.
Darrell Hernaez. It's not good.
Neither of which are relevant.
One that I'm kind of curious on, since it's a 6-game week, if you want to take a shot on Max Muncy, I could see it. He homered in his last game. He's got 2 hits in 2 of his last 3.
Sure.
It's been a rough year, but you got that set of matchups playing. That's the one thing with all these injuries. It's going to look like a bad lineup, and it will be. But you're going to get, like, Bolte's locked in. McNeil's going to play. Geloff, Butler. Tommy Tanks has 2 home runs now. Like, so he's entered the chat, I'll say. But Muncy's kind of taking that third base role of late. So that's something that could come into play next week as well.
Yep. And pretty good schedule just opponent wise, right? Zebby's going to Sacramento. Tosh Bradley's either really good or terrible. This says Joe Ryan. I don't know about that. So that could be some type of scrub. Brendan Young, Chris Bassett. Like, there's only one good pitcher that's facing the A's next week. So yeah, I could see Max Muncy.
And Tommy White, 7%. What I would recommend, like, we've seen this last week without Jacob Wilson in play. So, we've seen Muncy play back-to-back first righties at third. Tommy Tanks played 1 game at first, while McNeil played second base that day. Good God, they're all over the place. But, yeah, if Tommy White and Muncy get to play together, they're both very, very pretty much free, unowned, and 12-teamers. Pitching, Hogan Harris is the dude. He struggled in his last outing, but he is the guy for them if you're into that kind of thing.
Yeah, Hollywood Hogan is gonna get you saves. There's some risk there. He got blown up on Tuesday, but such is life, trying to search for saves. And at home, I'm not recommending any any A starter outside of probably Jacob Lopez.
Jacob Lopez well enough.
You could roll with him at home.
Yeah, and I'm officially going to say it now. Oh, man, but never mind. I was going to say after today I'm dropping Gage Jump. I've already said no starts at home, but the following week it's 2-step at Texas at Seattle, so fudge. That's happening.
Yeah, you throw that, Jump this week to in anticipation of that.
Yes, because I was going to say you drop him, but I saw it 2-step, and I'm going to hang on for at least one more week.
No, he got crushed today on the road.
Yes, but that was like my final straw, but maybe it's not my final straw after all. So damn. Here we go. All right, Houston Astros, 6 games on the road, 3 at the Yankees, 3 at the Mets. So Houston gets to live in New York for the week. Go get them, buddy. I heard they're fixing potholes, so that's good. 1 lefty and 5 righties for the Houston Astros.
Yeah, nothing on the hitting side. Although I guess we should, Christian, should we go catcher? Christian Vasquez? Well,
real quick, before we get to that, Jeremy Pena has a hand injury. He is day-to-day, so keep an eye on that, because knowing Jeremy Pena, somehow he'll still end up on the IL, even though he's not supposed to.
Sure.
All right, yeah, go talk catchers, because I wrote about it for HQ. I tweeted about it, as you were now. Go.
So, yeah, I mean, Christian Vasquez has started a believe the stat is 7 of the last 11 games at catcher. Brian Taggart, Astros beat guy. I forget exactly what the records are, but like the Astros record with Vasquez starting is like so much better than Yiner Diaz. Yiner Diaz is not really playing right now, even though Christian Vasquez is not really a good hitter. It's some of, okay, you could still maybe pick him up if your star for a second catcher is playing, but it's more, what do you do if you have Yiner Diaz?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, there's other options besides Vasquez I'd hope to have as my catcher too.
Right
now. But yes, you can. I'm okay dropping Yiner Diaz. Yes. That's
promise. He's been hitting too. Like, no, he's been okay.
He was okay. He was great in July. He has not done jack squat in August.
He's got a couple homers this month.
What else does he have?
I want to say, I don't know. I don't have this shit in front of me.
But yeah, cause I just wrote about this, and it's if you just go by his month to month, I'll keep this simple here. He's hitting 200 in August with 0 home runs.
I thought he hit a couple homers in August.
No, he hit 5 in July when he hit 295, but his month of August is dreadful. And then you throw in the fact he's not playing, it gets worse. But yeah, he's even. In August, it's brutal. We got a guy striking out. It's only 16%, but that's one of the worst times he's had all month. It's a 26 WRC+.
Right. I mean, it's 37 plate appearances too. This is like the smallest of samples. Yeah. Like
but that's something. But yeah, he's not playing.
Right. I mean, that's the biggest thing is he's not playing. That's why he only has 37 plate appearances. So, so I could see it. I mean, the problem is in 15 teamers, like who are you going to replace him with? Like you would drop Yiner Degrassi, like Mickey Gasper. You would do that? You'd make that move? Okay.
I do it for Mickey Gasper. We haven't mentioned any others yet. We'll have more. I'd almost be willing to stash Kyle Teal for another week and a half and get, instead of getting the bad at bats, at least prepare for the future. It's not ideal. There's no hiding that, but Yiner Diaz isn't playing, and when he plays, it's not great. So, bad combination. Ethan Pecco is up with the team. He gets a two-step at the Yankees, at the Mets next week.
Yeah, I'm not interested, though.
Yeah, he'll go for a lot of money. Had to bring him up because he's one of their top pitching prospects. I thought they should have brought him up a long time ago. He's having a good year in the minors. Struggled in his first start, but I feel like that was a lot of adrenaline with him. You could see his command was way off. But, yeah, it's a tough, tough two-step on the road in the bright lights in New York for a week. It's not somewhere. Plus, in the minors, they only pitch once a week. Now he's going two right out the gate. That's a scary situation.
Yeah. I shouldn't totally dismiss Pecco, but, yeah, I don't overreact to an MLB debut, but it was not pretty.
Yeah, Pecco's good, but I'm a little nervous, yes.
Yeah.
Anything else with the Houston Astros?
No, Hunter Brown sucks, but no.
Yes, he does suck. Los Angeles, Angels of Anaheim, 6 games at home, 3 versus Cleveland, 3 versus Philly, 3 lefties, 3 righties. Another just massive, not good for the splits week.
Yeah, another one we could move on from is Moises Ballesteros, who's been like the worst hitter in baseball.
Got a double today. They tweeted about he broke his over 15 streak. But see, Diaz, he's at least playing every day.
Do you want him playing every day?
No, not necessarily, but I wouldn't be shocked if he gets going. I'd rather roll the dice on him probably, but I don't think I'd want either. I'd still rather have Mickey Gasper than the two.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ballesteros has not been great, but they do keep playing him, which is all I really care about right now. Like at least get him the reps for next year is where my brain goes with him.
Didn't know this would turn into the Mickey Gasper episode, but here we are.
We're a team or two away from a different episode, but we'll get there in a minute. Anything else with the platoons? I really got nothing else with the hitters. Anything on the pitching side?
Pitching side is your boy, George Klassen, right? Looked really good against, who did he pitch against? It was 7 Ks last
Texas,
time out.
Texas or Houston, one of the two, yeah.
So I think still had 3 walks. So in that outing, like I'm still a little nervous about the control. I know it's been better at the end of this AAA career/stint. But I don't know. That still lives in the back of my head. But Klassen would line up to face. Let's see. He's at Texas this weekend, but then it's Philly, at Pittsburgh, at Boston for George Klassen. So
I'm still fine with those.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
He's kind of like, if you like Hayden Wesneski, you should like George Klassen. I'm not saying you, but like just to listeners. There's a lot of Klassen's better to me than Wesneski, but there's a lot of control issues with both of them.
Klassen or Pecco?
Oh, Klassen easily.
Okay.
I say easily now just because he's got a couple starts under his belt. You've seen his last 2 starts. He looks way more relaxed than he did in his first few. Pecco might have to go. And I don't want to overstay it, but like 2 games in New York, that's going to be interesting. Just the whole situation there. But you never know. I hope Pecco pitches well. I think he's a very talented young arm.
Yeah.
And then Ben Joyce is still only 60% in 12s. He is the closer. He might not go back-to-backs, but he is the dude, and he has not allowed a run in his first 8 outings. And he has 6 or 7 innings, 8 Ks, 1 walk, 3 straight saves. Like, get him.
Yeah, Ben Joyce is the dude. Like, may not be pushed back-to-back, you know, outing or nights or whatever, but what are the odds of the Angels have back-to-back save opportunities?
If we're being like Jordan Romano honest. Led the team in saves with 4 for like 6, like 5 months, it felt like. And then Joyce gets 3 in 3 outings.
Yeah. But yeah, especially with Sammy Natera on the IL, who Ben Tidd, he's like heartbroken over this. not really sure why.
Ben, you can drop him now.
Ben, I think he probably could have dropped him anyway. Ben Joyce is the dude.
He is the dude for sure. And talking dudes, let's talk Seattle Mariners. 6 games this week, 3 at home versus Philly, 3 at Toronto, 1 lefty, 5 righties. Before we get to the dude, anything on the hitting side of things, right? Like, are you just dropping Taylor Ward if you haven't yet?
I mean, I want to drop the whole damn team.
Yeah, are you dropping Cal Raleigh? If these are actually real questions.
He's awful. He's got like the worst batting average of qualified hitters like ever.
Mickey Gasper or Cal Raleigh?
I mean, I'll say Cal Raleigh, but I want to throw up in my mouth.
Yeah, Taylor Ward drop.
I will. Yeah, I mean, he's not any good. So Brock Rodden's come up. He is playing every day at shortstop for now. Not sure when.
J.P. Crawford starting that. He started rehab on Thursday.
Okay. Rodden is, it's 21 plate appearances, so, you know, whatever. But 38% strikeout rate, 19% swinging strike. That's not looking good so far. I think once J.P. is back, if third base is covered, I think J.B. goes back to his home position and boots Rodden.
I think that's the play for sure. I would be shocked if it's not. But let's just, you know, cut the crap here, Ryan. Starting Saturday for the Seattle Mariners, straight from Double A, Kate Anderson. What are we doing?
We are 46 minutes into the show, and we get to our headliner here. We are targeting Kate Anderson. Yeah, exactly. So what I think is going to happen, I guess we should set the table here, right? Kate Anderson, some of the best numbers that you'll ever see at Double A. Big, I think, third, fourth overall pick out of LSU last season. Did not pitch professionally last season, but has just completely mowed down Double A hitters. It's just been a service time, matter of time until Kate Anderson is up. The Mariners have said Kate Anderson will start when he is up, and now he is up. So I will take them at their word for that one. I think this will be a six-man rotation. I don't think this will be a piggyback. They could boot like Bryce Miller from the rotation, who's been pretty terrible lately. But Kate Anderson, similar to, we were talking about, I think, Pecco, Kate Anderson has not, he's only pitched once a week in the minors as well. And the Mariners are not going to screw with that at all. So I think the Mariners stay with like a six man, or do some kind of weird thing if they want to boot Bryce Miller from the rotation. Kate Anderson, I think he will throw a full starter workload. I don't see why not. Maybe five-ish innings. They're not going to, you know, they're not going to leave him out to dry. But I think you're going to get a guy who starts. He's going to be in the rotation unless things are just terrible. I don't see how Kate Anderson isn't in the Mariners rotation through the rest of the season, or at least for as long as they're alive in the postseason race. That means you probably get like six starts out of Kate Anderson. And if you need pitching help, I think you empty the clip. I think you say, how much money am I comfortable with over the last, how many more fat periods are there after this? Five. You know, am I comfortable leaving myself $10 and spend $2 a week or something?
There's only four weeks after this. So, yeah.
Okay. So there you go. Different math, but you know, maybe you leave $12, you get $3 per week. I think that's the math you need to do in your head on, you know, if you want to target, if you need Kate Anderson. I think you got to leave yourself with not very much money left, because people have been like saving for Kate Anderson. I think he's going to cost a ton. I think a lot of people are going to spend whatever they have left in FAB.
I'll be very interested, but I don't know if I'll have enough to do it. Let's put it that way. But I will be quite invested in a certain league that I continue to go through my pitching in. So we'll see where that goes.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the Texas Rangers. Six games on the road this week, three at the White Sox, three at Milwaukee. Two lefties and four righties for the Texas Rangers.
I don't have much. Danny Jansen's back.
Out of first place, dude. They're a game and a half out of first place. Holy crap.
Yeah, and two games under 500.
Oh, my God. That's unbelievable.
Danny Jansen's back in our lives. So yes, he is. Got that at catcher. Danny Jansen or Cal Raleigh? Don't answer that.
Danny Jansen.
I told you not to answer that. I don't have anything else.
You could jock jam it this week if you need to. He's 56% rostered. I'll take four righties to jock jam. I think that's,
I don't know. Plays. I don't know if one of them's the Miz. So really it's three. You fair. Could if you're desperate.
Fair. That's fair. I reek of desperation, Ryan. Pitching side of things, DeGrom looked great on Thursday. I still don't trust a thing he does when he throws, but he looked great. But more importantly, Cal Quantrill is a dude right now. Just going to put that in the ether.
You don't want to expand upon that? Do you want me to shit on the guy so he keeps shoving? Or what do you want to do?
That's what I was waiting for. But yeah, no, Cal Quantrill, he was doing the piggyback for a while, but basically over his last five outings, he's thrown five or more. Basically, okay, so his last four starts, he's thrown at least five innings. He's allowed three total runs over that stretch, and he struck out 22 over, let's throw 11, over 23 innings. He's looked really, really good. And, like, that was the Nationals he shut down, Angels, Giants, and Rays. So two out of the four teams I can respect. You can decide who that is. But, yeah, Cal Quantrill is a dude right now that you can definitely stream at least in deeper formats, if not shallow. Right now they have him out of the rotation because they're saying Eovaldi's coming back. I have not seen anything saying Eovaldi's coming back. Jack Leiter is supposed to be back next week also. That's a name that entices me. But I think Quantrill's pitched good enough to stick around right now.
I think it's all luck, but...
That's Cal Quantrill in a nutshell, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 249 BABIP he's running. It's an 8% homer to fly. Just been very fortunate on every type of batted ball. But he is pitching well right now. If you want to keep pushing your luck, maybe you can Walbert Urania your way into...
And there it is, folks.
A nice stretch of starts there. I know I'm the idiot that keeps bringing him up, but no, I don't think Cal Quantrill's any... I mean, exact same skills that he had last year when he posted a 6.04 ERA.
Okay, if you don't want to pick Cal Quantrill up, and that's fine, I would go pick Jack Leiter up, though. He's 26% rostered.
Yeah, like I take Leiter over Quantrill. Yeah.
And he's got the White Sox next week, which they're kind of slowing down, but whatever. But it's a really nice-looking schedule for Leiter, so I'd be rolling that way.
Yeah.
Question. As we talked about so far, Leiter might be the second best pitcher this week besides Kate Anderson. Now, it's weird that they don't have him in the rotation after this week, again, for Eovaldi, but like Bradford and Rocker are the two that, I don't know, Leiter should be pitching in that rotation.
When Leiter is healthy, he will have a spot.
That's kind of the way I look at it. All right, Atlanta Braves, six games at home, three versus the Dodgers, three versus the Rockies, two lefties and four righties for the Braves.
No hitters for me, unless you do. I mean, it's pretty set there.
Yep.
And pitching? Not really. I mean, pitching, like A.J. Smith-Shawver came back up. Like, it looks like they're going to do a six-man for now, but I'm not interested there either. I get why they're doing a six-man. They do have six healthy arms, but I don't think Smith-Shawver is it in terms of an ad.
Yeah, it's interesting. They said they're going to do a six-man for next week and then reevaluate. So we don't even know what
that means. Yeah, they probably should reevaluate that.
All right, the Miami Marlins, they had three at home versus Boston, three at the Nationals, four lefties and two righties.
All right, Miami Marlins, I think I got a whole lot of nothing outside of a potential weekly Esteri Ruiz rant. He started four of the last five games.
He's got four lefties next week.
Four lefties. I mean, I'm going to go back to Ben Tidd's Lucy football gif, but whatever. The four lefties does entice me. Damn it. I'm going back. He's drawing me back in.
Yep. 61% rostered in 12s. So go have some fun, kids.
Yeah. Agustin Ramirez, DH three games in a row. I don't know. Are you interested in the Goose?
I take him over Yiner Diaz.
Yeah. Would you take him over just because we have to name him Mickey Gasper?
That's tricky. Maybe rest of the season, but not next week. Next week, I'm rolling Mickey in that matchup. The seven games against five righties, I'll take Mickey.
Okay.
But yeah, it's tricky. Anything on the pitching side with the Marlins?
I don't think so.
No, I got nothing. Nothing with the Fish. New York Mets, they have six games at home, three versus Milwaukee, three versus Houston, two lefties and four righties for the Mets. Mark Viento started a rehab assignment on Thursday. Jorge Polanco is out for the year, requiring another ankle surgery.
Yeah.
What else you got for the Mets?
Jorge Polanco, six RBI this season.
What a free agent signing.
What a signing. Four righties for the Mets. No, I don't really want to do Jared Young. He's been okay. I could see in a corner in a deeper format. Brett Beatty's kind of falling back a little bit. No, I don't see anything that exciting here.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, everyone was hoping with all the injuries, Beatty would play, and he still doesn't play. It's pretty Right. I think it's pretty cut and dry what they think about him in New York right now.
Yeah. Brett Beatty or Brett Bateman? Who would you rather have?
I'd rather have Bateman if he's healthy. He plays every day and leads off.
Yeah.
Pitching side of things, I think we're pretty low. I'm still not Robert Stocking this, though. Not happening.
Still not Robert Stocking. I mean, Cody Senga's the dude.
Yes,
Cody Senga. That's more of a last week add. I know we both added a ton of Cody Senga. He's still 75% owned in 12 teamers. So the rest of those 12 teamers, yeah, Cody Senga, you know, I don't know how long it'll last. It's still Cody Senga, but you just never know. When you switch up the pitch mix, he's going more fastball, forkball, because that's all he needs to do in one inning spurts. So he's the guy, and saves or saves.
Yep, fully agree on that. Saves or saves, Senga is the dude. I'm hoping that pans out because I invested heavily last week, as you mentioned.
Yeah, same. Yep.
So, all right, let's go to Philadelphia. Six games on the road, three at Seattle, three at the Angels, one lefty and five righties for the Fightin' Phils.
For the 23rd week in a row, nothing on the hitting side.
Yeah, nothing changes there. Nothing on the hitting side. Do you have anything on the pitching side? Because I don't have a whole lot here either.
They added Nasty Nestor. Nasty Nestor is back in our lives.
I saw that, but I can't even bring myself to that.
No, and I don't even think he's going to be in there. I feel like that's a bullpen move. So, no, well, I got nothing.
Okay, well, he's 74% roster, but I wanted to give your boy Nola a shout.
Yeah, he's been awesome, dude.
And he gets at Seattle this week and then a two-step next week.
There you go. Yeah, see, everyone likes to chirp at me when Nola gets blown up. I haven't heard anything about Nola actually pitching well of late.
Everyone's focused on Walbert Urania right now, Ryan.
Yeah, they've all moved to my next my most recent failure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all that matters.
The Urania thing is just unbelievable. Every time he pitches, it's just I bring these things upon myself, my friend.
Yes, you're very good at that. All right, Washington Nationals have seven games. They're one of our 4 7-game weeks at home this week, four against Colorado, three against Miami. So pretty favorable matchups for the Nationals. One lefty, six righties. C.J. Abrams day-to-day with an ankle injury that's not supposed to be too serious. So he'll be in, but Abby Ortiz, another solid week if you want to stream the big dog.
Yep, that's what I was going to do. Keep an eye on that Abrams injury. At least my take on it was it could be something, but we'll see. You'll have the weekend to see if CJ Abrams plays and adjust accordingly. But no, that's it. I obviously Abby Ortiz is a must start in a six righty week, but like the other platoon lefty they have is like Yorby Vivas, and I'm not recommending him.
Nah, Jacob Young's still 24% rostered. He should be way
is that
more
it?
Rostered than that. Okay. Yeah, no one adds him in 12s. Like I get the appeals more 15 team, but like you look at that profile, man, he's like playing so well, especially of late. Like Jacob Young should be in a lot of lineups right now.
Yeah, huge uptick in power this year. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, so people are sleeping on that one, so take advantage of that instead of the streams. You guys like Spencer Jones is a cool name, but the dude's hitting like 200 right now. So Jacob Young can help you in a lot of places. Pitching side of things, besides Cade Cavalli being goated, Andrew Alvarez threw good again on Thursday. Anything on the pitching side for you?
No, I mean I threw out Jackson Kent last week. Didn't look that great in his most recent start. I think we can move on from
about Jackson to throw Kent. Him back out later. Oh, Andrew Alvarez has a nice two-step next week too. So yeah, he is on the radar, folks. That is happening.
Oh, yeah. Road Rockies and Road Marlins. I like that.
That's real nice.
Really 13, like that. Write that one down for yourself. I won't write it down and I'll forget.
Oh, I got it right here in big letters. Two spots below Ester Ruiz. One will get added, one won't. Chicago Cubs, they have six games this week. Three at Arizona, three at home versus Cincinnati. Two lefties and four righties for Pete Crow Armstrong's Cubs.
Yeah, this is Pete Crow Armstrong's world, and we are all living in it right now. No, nothing has changed with this lineup.
Not the lineup, the rotation. Peterson was bullpen, now he's back in because Ever Cabrera's hurt, but all in all, there's not much.
Not to get too far, but what the hell was that? They were like, Edward Cabrera's going to pitch near the back end of the bullpen, and then he's a starter again, and then he just gets hurt again. So whatever.
And now then he's going like, yeah, my blister's done. I'll go pitch in the bullpen. Like they're doing it all over again.
I mean, what is a blister doesn't just go away if you're in the bullpen.
Nah, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. But a side note, Daniel Palencia will be activated from the IL on Friday.
Right.
But yep. I think I still like Jacob Webb, folks. So don't get too crazy there.
I mean, if you have Jacob Webb, you're holding until you know that Palencia is the guy. Jacob Webb has pitched really well and kind of entrenched himself, in my opinion, in the ninth. So my hunch is it's still going to be Jacob Webb, and they kind of ease Palencia back into things. They've done that before. So, but yeah, definitely keep an eye on it, because I don't know for sure what they're going to do.
Yep, full agree. All right, we got the Cincinnati Reds, six games all on the road, three at the Giants, three at the Cubs, two lefties and four righties for the Cincinnati Reds.
Oh, road Reds, pretty rough. You know, they do have your boy Sal Stewart, but outside of that, it's been shaky. What, any interest in the Dane? Dane Myers is hitting a little bit, but
I've been in and out on him like all season. It's been super streaky. I prefer him at home, but yeah, he's 0% rostered.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm really stretching then. I mean, this is a Reds team that coming off this like what legendary 8-game week, and like there's just nothing there, man. It's bad.
It is bad. I do want to shout out he's over 70% rostered right now, so it's not more of a roster thing, it's more of a hey, he's kind of looking better thing. It's a big stretch, but Matt McClain's coming off the IL on June 30th. It's 238, but it's three homers, it's four steals. He's playing every day. Like I keep feeling like something. It's a 101 WRC plus, so he's at least league average. He's not complete garbage like we thought at one point. Just wanted to throw that out. He's at least playable right now in fantasy if you have him. On the pitching side, do you have anything here? Because like I want nothing to do with pretty much anybody but Burns, maybe Singer, maybe Abbott. That's it.
Agreed. I don't have anything.
And keep an eye on Emilio Pagan. The velocity has been quite wonky lately, but I don't know who would take that over. So good luck.
Well, they just activated what's his name, Santillan. I never pronounced that right. But I think Pagan really needs to screw up.
I agree. Milwaukee Brewers, six games this week, three at the Mets, three at home versus Texas, four lefties and two righties for Milwaukee. So a lefty heavy week for the Brew Crew.
Lefty heavy week for the crew. You've got, which is bad news for like Garrett Mitchell and David Hamilton, who I think homered this week. Yeah, homered off. Yeah, he was that 22-run Mariners debacle.
Yeah, was that the time when J-Rod threw it in the outfield, or is that a different one?
Same game. What a freaking disaster of a team, man. Crap. So bad. Cooper Pratt's back off the IL for the Brewers. So get him back in with the four lefties. Like, are you interested in a like Gary Sanchez stream catcher?
Now he's a catcher too that I'd probably put over Mickey Gasper this week. Yeah.
All roads lead to Mickey Gasper this week. I love it.
Well, I wanted to beat you to it on that one. But, yeah, Gary Sanchez would be a nice catcher, too, this week, for sure.
Yeah, agreed. Joey Ortiz is back playing shortstop every day, hitting well. So, although that might not be – yeah, never mind. Like, with Cooper Pratt back, that may not be the case.
No, he'll play third base, though, versus the lefties.
Yeah, Joey Ortiz will keep playing. And platoon with Hamilton, yep.
Yep. So, like, Ortiz even played short today. Pratt sat today after playing Wednesday. So, there could be a whole kind of thing. There could be a whole – Pratt, Hamilton, Ortiz thing going on there before it's all said and done.
Yeah.
Andrew Vaughn with four lefties?
Yeah, potentially. I could see it.
Yeah. It's a deep, deep play, so it's I'm not a like deep, in love with yeah. it, but yeah.
It'd be like a dollar waterfall in 15s for me.
All right, on the pitching side of things, Shane Drohan is supposed to head to the bullpen to even out this rotation, so keep an eye on that whole situation, but I have nothing else on the rotation unless you do.
I know there's six man for now, but yeah, with Drohan out, Dustin May hasn't pitched well. Gasser got blown up today. Maybe blown up's a little harsh, but yeah, everyone did get blown up today. I don't know. No, I don't. I mean, I don't have anything. Just an observation.
Yes, indeed. Pittsburgh Pirates, six games on the road, three at San Diego, three at St. Louis, two lefties and four righties for the Buccos.
We got to talk your boy.
O'Neill Cruz?
No. Rafael Flores.
Top catcher two of the week. You just nailed it.
Speaking of catchers, like, come on. Mickey Gasper, out of the way. This is now the Rafael Flores Jr. episode. playing pretty much every day between catcher and first base, hitting the hell out of the ball. Hit double donged on a day where he was a pinch hitter. I think that was on Wednesday. Giddy
Sarah up. Sarah Lang's tweeted he's done it twice so far this year. No other player has done that.
I did not know that. That's cool.
Yeah. So that's a guy I loved in the preseason. He's in a couple DCs right now.
Starting in a DC because of you. I remember you randomly calling that. I think he was on your like post 600 ADP team, Rafael.
Yes, he was. So yeah, no, he's like, I think a really strong, as long as the playing time is still, even if it's just like 70% of the time, which it's more than that right now, he's very solid with that power upside he brings to the table. So
Dropping Yiner Diaz for Rafael Flores if available.
Yes, before I finish this sentence, yes.
Okay. Yeah, Rafael Flores is 11% in 12s. So that's widely available.
Needs to change, but yes. I would make that move very quickly. Other than that, though, hitting-wise, I don't have a whole heck of a lot because most of these guys are rostered. Like I mentioned, O'Neill Cruz is back. We'll see how that one pans out. So far, so good. Ezreal Valdez, the Magician's waking up at the plate. Played much better the past week, so we got that going. But I don't have a whole lot for the ad drop side of things.
Nope.
Pitching-wise, Braxton Ashcraft has thrown two really good starts in a row. Gets a two-step next week, so I'm prepared to be hurt. Anything else on the rotation or even Mason Montgomery in the bullpen?
No, it's pretty set.
All right, St. Louis Cardinals, six games at home, three versus Baltimore, three versus Pittsburgh, one lefty and five righties for the Cardinals.
Don't think I have anything for the Cards either. We're in the post Joshua Baez frenzy, and this is pretty
good.
I know it's been pretty rough after the three homer debut, but I got nothing here for the Cards.
Yeah, I got nothing on the hitting side, and I have nothing on the pitching side really. Besides, keep hat tipping Kyle Leahy. He's been freaking amazing.
Continues to do his thing, Kyle Leahy. And Kyle Leahy's next few starts line up against Pittsburgh at Coors and then at Giants. Pittsburgh kind of scares me. At Coors doesn't really. At Giants doesn't really. Him.
Keep rolling, yeah, boys.
Keep rolling with Leahy. Yep.
All right. Arizona Diamondbacks, six games, three at home versus the Cubs, three at the Giants, two lefties, four righties. Remember, the planner has two games over the weekend. It's still three, so the planner's just not reading it. It's not the planner's fault. It's where they're drawing it from. But it's one game on Friday, two games on Saturday. So they have seven games this week. That's why it's not reading the doubleheader on Saturday.
Who do they play on Saturday? The Giants.
That's the Giants doubleheader. The D-backs schedule, they get four at home or – oh, no, it's – what the hell? Oh, they play the Giants for four? I got to pull up. I'm looking at RotoWire right now. It's,
I don't know what's going on.
It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday against the Cubs at home, and then they go on the road Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Saturday's doubleheader. So four games against the Giants? That can't be right. But if that's the case, either way, things are wonky. They should have three games over the weekend. Back to my initial point during the whole thing.
Yeah.
Let me pull this up here.
Just so they get seven games? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
this is about as clear as you explaining the
Giants have seven games also. So, yeah, the D-backs go to San Francisco Thursday, Friday, and a doubleheader on Saturday.
Oh, man. Planner let me down. Apologies, folks. Well, what's going on? We'll get with IT, and we'll figure that out.
Yeah, our people will talk to IT and figure that out. But, yeah, seven games for the D-backs this week. So we'll have to figure that one out. But anything on the Diamondbacks?
Jordan Lawler's back.
Do we want to talk Ketel Marte?
Yeah, we do not need to. Is Marte a drop for you? Is he even hurt? We have no idea. I would not drop Marte yet. But there's a chance he just never comes. He does not come back to the team.
Yeah, that's one you got to hold for at least another week or so until – I don't know if we'll ever get clarity, but I'd wait just a little bit longer on that one.
Yeah. I mean, I could – if you want to be real aggressive and drop, I mean, Marte hasn't really played well lately, but I'd probably hold it a week and just see what the hell is going on. Do you think he's actually hurt? I don't.
I think there's something else going on.
So,
to that point, then I understand the aggressive drop at the same time. Because if something's going on, like, I don't think it gets fixed in 10 days.
And they just welcome him back to the team.
Yeah, I heard our buddies at ITL on their show that they dropped on Thursday. they're Arizona guys, and they the opening of the show, neither one of them want him back. They went pretty hard on this whole Marte because it happened last year. It's happened again. Now, I missed the part that apparently the night before the game he didn't show up to. He was seen at a bar in the city at 11 o'clock drinking.
That I did not know either.
I didn't know that either. Like, there's stuff that keeps coming out, and they were talking about it. I'm like, okay, that changes a lot more now. If I would have known that, like, if I'm his teammates, I don't want him around.
Right. And so there's a real chance he's just
De
facto off the team right now. So
yeah, so I like, the more we talk about this, could he come back and whatever? But I could see this being a preemptive drop that you might look pretty, you're going to look really, really smart or really foolish for, but I think it might be worth a shot.
Yeah, it's at least a consideration. So
yeah.
Your boy Ildemar Vargas seems to be filling in at second base and Ketel Marte's stead.
He's hitting too.
Yeah, he is hitting. And Jordan Lawler is back playing center field every day. Lawler in 12s is, he's 82%. That's higher than I thought. So not widely available, but back and at least healthy and upright for now, Jordan Lawler.
For now, he definitely is. And that is a plus for all of this. Pitching side of things, I'm not out of any way to add or drop here. Justin Martinez appears to maybe have the front end of the closing options here, if you're interested.
Yeah, I would be interested. Absolutely.
Yep. 0% rostered in 12s. So go have your fun with that, everybody. Yeah, because
he made his debut this week, right? No one drafted the guy.
Yep, so he'll be another point of conversation this weekend.
Yeah.
Colorado Rockies, 7 games this week, 4 at Washington, 3 at Atlanta, 3 lefties and 4 righties on the road for the Rockies.
Yeah, road Rockies always tough. Which ones are you starting? You're starting McCarthy, probably starting Moniak, you're starting Carrig. I could see starting Willie Castro. What's Zach Veen been up to?
Veen is in a full platoon.
Yeah.
Sat versus every lefty, which is so just
like 4 games of Zach Veen on the road. 3 of those 4 are the first half of the week, so you could maybe roll with Zach Veen the first half, but
like, yeah, well, yeah, because it's Cavalli, then Alvarez, so you don't want those, but then it's the good Lord and Jake Irvin. Kind of interested in that.
Yeah. Yes, of course. So, anytime you're going against the good Lord, you gotta be
especially
interested
on hump day. Yeah, Zach Veen. I wouldn't mind the first half of the week, Zach Veen.
Yeah.
Anything else on the hitting side?
No.
What about the pitching side? Because I can't do any of these guys. Kyle Freeland's actually been okay, but he left with the neck injury, and it's just no rock.
I do. I know. I'm a week removed from this, but Kyle Freeland actually did, and I streamed him, pitched well against your, I think he only had 1 strikeout in like 8 innings against eight your innings. Giants, but you got the win. I think gave up 1 run. So there we go. It worked.
Yep. Very effective. He's been very good on the road. So I could see going Freeland, just make sure his neck's okay, because he apparently hurt that on his last time. All right.
Or just don't start Kyle Freeland again.
and keep rostering and playing Jordan Romano.
Sure.
Los Angeles Dodgers, 6 games on the road, 3 at Atlanta, 3 at Detroit, 1 lefty and 5 righties for the Dodgers. And offensively, I got nothing besides I hope you're not rostering Teoscar still.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that. Knew that one was coming. I have nothing else to add.
Pitching side of things, Blake Snell came back. Tyler Glasnow should be back next week, which should mean the end of Eric Lauer in that rotation, unless they somehow go 6-man. And Tanner Scott is the closer for the foreseeable future, folks.
That's the big news, is Tanner Scott, right? And much to your chagrin, I know. 68% rostered in 12-teamers, Tanner Scott. So spend up, right? If you need saves,
if you need saves,
giddy up.
He should be a top priority for saves. He's got like 18 saves on the year. I got most of those. Did not get the 2 this week. But to be fair, I keep telling myself, I started Senga, he got a save. I would not have started Scott because originally Diaz was still there. Wouldn't have got those saves. So I'm trying to justify my... I made the right move at the time. But
even still, and I know I don't want to veer off too much into your team, but like you said, you want to save up and or not, you want to make a competitive bid for Cade Anderson. You can't do that if you're trying to go back in at Tanner Scott. And I don't think you should, because you do have
I have 3 closers.
You have Bednar, you have Romano, and you have Senga.
So, no, I'm fine. I mean, it just whatever. Was frustrating because I like Scott so much.
I know. And you held through the Edwin Diaz experience. And yeah, I know.
But the rat took too long to gnaw through the freaking cheese to make the move.
God damn. I love it. Dave Roberts plays Bubba yet again.
San Diego Padres. They have 6 games this week, 3 at home versus Pittsburgh, 3 at the Rays, 1 lefty and 5 righties for one of the hottest teams in baseball.
Yeah. But what do? What do you add? I don't. Are we cleaning
the
sheets?
You add Luis Rengifo.
The sheets are covered in mold in a cold corner of the basement.
That is not starch, darling. Luis Rengifo is the ad still. He's only 25% in 12s.
Okay.
He's playing extremely well.
Yep. Yeah, I didn't know he was that low. I mean, we've kind of talked about it in the last couple of weeks. But, yeah, you can get the mascot back in your life. He's playing every single day.
And I got nothing on the pitching side unless you do.
No.
All right, last but not least, the Gigantes. They have 7 games at home this week, 3 against Cincinnati, 4 against the D-backs. Probably 2 lefties, 5 righties would be my guess based on Arizona's rotation. It sucks. It really sucks. The fact that Barrichello is in a platoon blows my freaking mind. But so you can move on from that fun until he gets his job back. There's really nothing to add. Like, Basabi's who we thought he was. Don't get excited there. It's the Eldridge Adames Devers show. Gilbert's played better. I'll give him that. He has played better, but that's strictly a deep league play on a volume week. There's really nothing to like when it comes to adding on the hitting side and pitching side. I still like Tidwell quite a bit. The tugboat's up, but I don't know if he's going to ever get stretched out. If he gets stretched out, it's interesting, but right now that's not a thing. So I got nothing with the Giants, honestly.
If you got nothing, then I got nothing.
It's not a very appealing team at all. At least as bad as the A's are, they have like fantasy goodness in there. The Giants just don't.
So you're not, nickname aside, you're not, are you even bidding on the tugboat? He only threw 2 in. I mean,
I'm not doing it. Until they prove they're going to make him an actual starter, I'm not interested. If I knew he was a starter, I'd be quite interested because I think he is actually decent, but I got nothing for him right now.
Yeah, same. Okay, cool.
Any other thoughts before we get to two-stepping for the week?
No, for as invigorating as your explanation was of the Diamondbacks Giants weekend schedule, I think we'll end it there. I do need to look and
week see. 23, everybody. Week 23.
I need to see why the planner didn't pick that, because there's nothing weird about it. So
yeah, it picked up the other doubleheaders. So yeah, who knows?
Right, it picks up doubleheaders. It's I don't know. Whatever, all good.
All right, let's get to the two steps for week 23. Merrill Kelly versus the Cubs at the Giants.
No.
A's are in Sacramento, so we'll move on there. Chris Bassett at St. Louis at the A's. That's a no.
No.
Ranger Suarez at Miami at the Yankees.
That's a yes.
That's a yes. Kevin Gausman at Arizona versus Cincinnati.
That is a yes. Didn't he leave his last start?
He left his last start with a cramp in his left hand. That's the hand his glove holds.
That's so, right. The non-throwing hand. I think he's going to be fine, though. So, yeah, you throw it.
It sounds like he'll be fine. Corbin Burns. He might be back in a couple weeks. Chase Burns of the Reds at the Giants at the Cubs. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Messick's a yes. Feltner at Washington at Atlanta.
You mean Gabriel Hughes 1.0, Ryan Feltner?
Pretty much.
Not doing Ryan Feltner. Like
Kyle Freeland at Washington at Atlanta.
No. Hurt neck at all. No.
Yep. Jose Urquidy versus Texas at Minnesota. I think in 15s he did it.
You got to be desperate. And like I said, you got to have some ratio pad and need wins in case.
Keiter Montero versus Tampa Bay versus the Dodgers.
No.
No, well, not either. Ethan Pecco at the Yankees at the Mets. It's not for me.
It's not for me either.
Seth Lugo at Toronto at Cleveland.
Yeah. Yes.
Great matchups, but just damn, I guess deep league only for me. He's not that. He's been bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's Seth Lugo. Like,
good matchups.
Yeah. For a typical Seth Lugo week, right, it's good matchups. So if you have him, you probably do it.
This one's a yes, but I'll ask it anyways. Walbert Urania versus Cleveland versus Philadelphia.
not answered. I plead the fifth. The advice of my attorneys.
All right. I won't comment what I was going to comment there. Tyler Phillips versus Boston at Washington.
This is another one of your guys.
That's a no.
No, I'm not doing that.
I'm not even doing that. Zach Thornton versus Milwaukee versus Houston.
Which one?
Yes. New York Mets.
Zach Thornton
versus Milwaukee versus Houston.
Why am I thinking so much about this? In 15s, I could do it. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Zach Wheeler, yes. Braxton Ashcraft at San Diego, at St. Louis. I'm going.
Hell yeah.
Ready to be hurt.
Nah.
But he's been so good his last two. Robbie Ray versus Pittsburgh at Tampa Bay.
Yes, I'm doing that. Agreed. Good matchups.
For now, they have Adrian Hauser versus Cincinnati versus Arizona. I want to say no, but in 15s, I'll say yes. He's actually been good of late.
Okay, if you say so.
He's been better after an opener, though. That's the problem. Like, I could see the Giants completely kerfuffling this. But, yeah. So, just think on it. Matthew Liberatore versus Baltimore versus Pittsburgh.
This guy's a conundrum, but
yes,
I mean, those teams are awful against lefties. So yeah.
Yep. You got to give it a whirl, but you got to
try it in 15.
He is a conundrum. Max Scherzer versus Kansas City versus Seattle.
Ooh, isn't he pitching somewhat better lately?
I'm not doing it. Not a freaking chance.
Okay. I'm not either.
Yeah. Cade Cavalli is a heck yeah. And then Mr. Alvarez versus Colorado versus Miami. That's a heck yeah as well.
Yes, absolutely. I like that a lot. Is Alvarez like, what is he?
He's like 25%, I thought I saw earlier.
13% in 12, Andrew worse. Alvarez.
Weirdly enough, I know there's only six teams with seven games. There's a lot of teams with six mans next week because of guys coming back from injuries and stuff. So there could be two steps subject to either be added or changed. So keep that in mind if like guys don't come back from the IL or other situations take place. But as of now, there's not that many out there this next week, which means maybe you go pick up another closer. Just throwing it out there and see where that gets you. All right, final thoughts. Week 23 Fab. After this Fab period, like I said, four more Fab periods to go, Ryan. We are on the quarter pool or just past it.
We are just past it. Four more, man. I'm going to miss these. I genuinely enjoy. I actually enjoy doing this more than actual Fab itself. So good luck to everyone in their Cade Anderson sweepstakes. I will be very interested to see what those prices are and very interested to hear your and Ben's thoughts on the Bench with Bubba show. Shout out Ben Bingham, by the way, who filled in very admirably. Despite losing power at the end of the show, Ben Bingham
perfect
was awesome
timing, like
you.
A pro.
I know. He did really well. So great job, Ben.
Ben was awesome. Yeah, it was great talking to him. Looking forward to have him on the show again at some point talking shop besides just Fab stuff. He's a sharp fantasy mind. So we'll look forward to chatting it up with him. But yeah, good luck this weekend, everybody. We'll be back with you guys next week with some more fantasy baseball action. But if you need some fix over the weekend, you want a Fab article, you want some chatter, you want some sheets, all kinds of stuff, check out the Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaBloom. For $7 a month, gets you everything you need to keep you going for the rest of the fantasy baseball season. Basically, $7 almost gets you to the end of the fantasy season right now. So keep that in mind if you want to play that game. But a lot of cool stuff there, and we'll keep going throughout the offseason to keep you guys entertained and educated for the upcoming season, whenever that comes to be. But until then, check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I am at BD Intrick. This was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 375. Catch y'all next time.